This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So before we got started, we learned that Jan Harzan of MUFON has a real life. He does real things. You know, like, for example, he takes his car into the car dealer for service, waits for the car dealer to get their shuttle vehicle to take him home. You know, this is a common practice. I don't know how it works in Canada. Randall, the same thing?
Yeah, if I go to the dealership, they'll put me on a bus and ship me back to my house, and then I can call them and they'll come and get me again. And a few places will have loaner vehicles even. So, yeah, if you go to the right place, you can get a ride back and forth.
Well, I have a VW dealer about a mile from here, so I don't worry about it. I just worry about the price of service. The other thing Jan and I were talking about before is he asked whether this is audio or video. And I told him that the reason we don't do video is I don't want to frighten our viewers. And then what did you say, Jan?
I don't remember. I'm not sure. What did I say? You tell me.
You agreed with me about yourself. I mean, you look normal.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see the green skin or the gray skin or anything like that. I don't see the elongated head, so you seem normal to me.
It's more the lines in the face, you know. It's like am I really that old?
Isn't everybody self-conscious about their own image, though?
I mean, you know.
I feel as though I'm probably the least photogenic person on the planet, but, you know, there's always, I suppose, exceptions to the rule.
Well, we have makeup men for that, you know, and women. Makeup men and women.
With me, though, they'd need a whole team of people, you know, like 20 people. Or a special effects artist so they can CGI me. You know, like a green screen. You see how they do that? Where some of these actors will go up before the green screen and suddenly they're a gorilla. Like Andy Serkis, who was in Lord of the Rings, and he played in Planet of the Apes, and he's a regular-looking guy. But what they do is motion capture. That's the ticket. You know, you dress up as Shazam, I dress up as Superman, and they do motion capture.
I like it. I like it.
I wonder here, seriously, whether UFOs are in their own way some kind of motion capture. That what we see as UFOs, and you can tell me I'm crazy because everybody else does, what we see as UFOs is an image presented for our benefit. Kind of almost like they did in Contact, where the alien came back as the Jodie Foster character's dad. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thought there, because, you know, when I saw my craft as a 10-year-old boy, I wondered if maybe we had conjured it up in our consciousness somehow, because this thing just appeared out of nowhere, and boom, it was there, and then it was gone just as fast as it showed up. So that's a good question. How does our reality get created? That's a good question.
Well, of course, as you know, Greg Bishop has a co-creation theory where there is a external consciousness-related phenomenon and we are contributing to what we see. Have you given that much thought? Even if it's real aliens, there could be that factor of us doing something to make it presentable.
Well, you know, that's you're kind of talking about the Schrodinger's cat experiment, right? Where is it a wave or a particles, and does the cat really die if you don't really know about it? It's a thoughtful process, and it goes back to the basis of reality and how we perceive things and how consciousness is functions and works. You know, these are big questions that many top physicists and scientists are thinking about, as well as just lay people like you and me. So who knows what the answer is? All I know is that we've got strange vehicles flying about our sky that appear to be solid for the most part and under intelligent control. So why can't we talk about this stuff? Why is it that it's been 70 years that we've suppressed this, and now only in the last year and a half have governmental people come out and started talking about the fact that these things are real. It's a real perplexing question, you know, and it probably goes to the heart of who we are as human beings and how we behave not only with each other, but collectively as a civilization. So,
well, let's look at the history, because you and I go back that far. I go back a bit farther than you, I think, Jen. I go back so far that there were this before. No, I don't want to get to that. Anyway, but seriously speaking, MUFON started out as the Midwest UFO Network back around, what, 1968 or something?
69, May of 1969. MUFON was founded by, I believe it was six or seven gentlemen in the Midwest who came together and decided that they wanted to decentralize the whole UFO question, because at the time they were all members of APRO, Aerial Phenomena Research Organization, under the Lorenzens. The Lorenzens wanted to run a very tight, centrally controlled ship where only they could talk to the press. And yet they had all these people who were members and following up on cases and things. And these folks felt, hey, you know, I'm smart enough to be able to talk to the press too. And one of those people, Walt Anders, violated that sacred trust and was called on the carpet by the Lorenzens. And as a result, a team of them got together and said, you know, we should create a new organization that's decentralized and allow people to run their own states, because these things happen out about not only the different states in the United States, but in different countries around the world. And so today, MUFON operates in 43 countries and all 50 states, and we have state and national directors in all those locations. So it's been a model that's worked well for 50 years, and I think it'll work probably well for the next 50 years as we continue to collect information on these objects and hopefully the beings that are inside them.
I should tell you about my background with the Lorenzens.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I've told this on the air, but you haven't heard it. I had a small UFO magazine when I was maybe 18 or 19 years old. And this was probably around the time the Sicario, New Mexico case came in. So we saw a bunch of photos I wanted to include in the magazine. I picked one, which appeared to be a generic photo because I saw it in many locations. And I ran the issue, and then Carl Lorenzen writes back and says, well, you used our photo that we took, and therefore send me $100. I said, well, you know, I'm sorry if you don't think you got the right credit. I gave the magazine credit. I'm happy to do it under fair use. And, you know, she made some insulting remark, and that was it. This is mid-1960s. We go then to a UFO convention in Fort Smith, Arkansas in the mid-70s. And I mean, it was cool because other people I had disagreements with, like Richard Hall of NICAP, who once threw me out of the office. He didn't want to see me because I was working with Jim Moseley at the time. Really, you know, getting paid by Jim Moseley. And we met up now 10 years later at Fort Smith. We shook hands and we had a good laugh. And my only regret is that we didn't get back to him in time after the Paracast was founded to get him on the show before he died. That would have been a great show. Yeah. But I liked him once I got to know him, and we got to talk to each other for a few minutes. At the same point, Carl Lorenzen sees me. I don't introduce myself, but I'm about to, and she comes up to me and looks at my name on the name tag and says, oh, you're the one who ran that photo. And I thought to myself, it's 10 years. Give it a break.
Funny. That's funny.
And I can understand then that they would have a very strong-armed approach to the way the organization was managed.
You know, this field is full of interesting personalities, and they would probably be one of them that were very interesting.
Oh, for sure. I mean, in UFO lore and in the history of the field, definitely you've got to take Coral and Jim Lorenzen into account. And Coral, she was a witness. She saw a UFO at the age of 9, along with other people. So, I mean, really, we should be one big happy family. And yet here we are still, you know, almost fighting like children amongst ourselves at times.
Yeah, it's kind of silly when you think we're all here for the same purpose, trying to get to the bottom of this whole interesting field. But did you ever have a chance to meet with the head of NICAP, Donald Kehoe?
Oh, sure. Now, this is interesting. I'll tell you about my NICAP thing here, because remember, I look at Kehoe and I look at NICAP, even though Kehoe was the person who basically took over NICAP when it ran afoul or floundered in the mid-50s. And I'll get into more of that in a moment. We have Jan Harzan, the executive director of MUFON, and we're just kibitzing, just hanging out here with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X-large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. Join American Cannabis Summit online at acs2018.com. Attendance is free. That's acs2018.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So let me give you the picture here. We go to Washington, D.C., myself, Rick Hilberg, Alan Greenfield, and a friend of mine, Marty, from Brooklyn, New York, travel to Washington, D.C., and we make an appointment to visit Major Kehoe, who lived in Luray, Virginia. Not in the caverns, folks. I always point that out. He did not live in the caverns. He was not a Dero. We saw him at a diner. And he was a very nice guy. We talked to him from half hour, an hour, and expressed our interests and everything. And like I said, very personable gentleman. And I think he used that personality to get a lot of the information he received in writing up his books. Now, I had visited NICAP previously, the offices directly, and I actually volunteered for a few hours and typed up summaries of UFO reports from the newspapers and everything. I like to think they included one of those or two of those in UFO Evidence, the book that Richard Hall edited. Anyway, it's a year or two later. We go to NICAP's office, and Richard Hall opens the door. Now, NICAP has headquarters at DuPont Circle in Washington, D.C. The significance of that, Jan, is that if you remember the original Day the Earth Stood Still with Michael Rennie as Klaatu, remember yes. when the military shot him down before he got resurrected in his spaceship? He was at DuPont Circle where he got shot down. And now NICAP locates itself in roughly the same location. I don't know if that means anything, but I think it was also because the offices were cheap. Let's be frank about it. Okay, so Richard Hall looks at me. Now, at this point, I had been working as managing editor at Saucer News, Jim Moseley's Saucer News in New York City. And the point being here that I got paid. If I got paid what I got paid then in 1965 and it increased by the cost of living now, I'd be making like $60 an hour, you see. Let's see how things have changed. Anyway, my name was on the masthead as managing editor with Jim Moseley. And Richard Hall knew this. And Richard Hall and Jim Moseley basically hated each other. And let me give you that story before we get to the other story. So Jim calls NICAP one time. Hall answers the phone. And they talk for a moment. And Hall accuses Jim Moseley of taping the conversation. Some words are exchanged and they hang up. Now, I don't know if you knew Jim Moseley or not, Jan, but Jim was the ultimate Luddite. He did not own a tape recorder. He never got past an electric typewriter, even through the 2000s. He never had a cell phone. He never had voicemail or a personal computer. So knowing that Richard Hall and Jim Moseley didn't like each other, knowing that I work now with Jim Moseley, because it was no secret, as soon as he saw my face at NICAP headquarters, Richard Hall shook his finger and said, "You're not welcome here."
Wow.
It was interesting because not too many months earlier, this group and I and Jim had visited Ray Palmer, that guy, over at his home in Amherst, Wisconsin. Beautiful home with a picture window overlooking a river, the Tomorrow River. So we decide, what are we going to do now? We'll call Ray and see what his suggestion is. He's got Flying Saucers magazine. And we told him what happened. And he said, you know, he gave us a little bit of advice and everything. And then said, I'll do something. Okay? He said, I'll do something. And a few months later, there was an article in Flying Saucers magazine entitled, "No Investigations Can Actually Proceed," which, of course, spells NICAP. And he wrote about our little adventure.
Sure.
So that's my background with Hall. We made up. You know, he realized he was being excessive, and it was time to let bygones be bygones. We have more important things to discuss. Carl Lorenzen never forgot that slight.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
They're not around anymore anyway. I mean, I think, wasn't it Walt Andrus that split off from them, and then they form MUFON, and like you say, Jen, now it's been around for years, and it's pretty much here to stay.
Because it was set up as a nonprofit and has been really there for the service of the general public, I think it's had staying power. You know, there's been a few arrows thrown MUFON's way in recent years and years past, but I think overall people realize that, you know, where are you going to go to report a UFO sighting where it's going to get followed up on? Where actually trained, certified field investigators are going to show up and talk to you about your sighting. And that's really the power. It's really the volunteer network that MUFON has, the power behind the organization.
We have criticized MUFON, as listeners of the PowerCast know. But Jan is a gentleman, and he understands you can be friends with somebody and disagree with something and not have to spread hate and vitriol.
Yeah. Gina, couldn't agree more. You know, I think that's one of the biggest things I would love to see change about this field. And you know, it's not just the UFO field. I mean, I see it. I see it in the medical field. I see it in science circles and things. For whatever reason, people do not seem to figure out how to disagree with people, but be agreeably disagree. If there's a word for that, you know. It's okay to say I don't agree with you, but you don't have to spit venom at them. You know, it's just not called for. It's not needed. And frankly, the only way you're really going to ever get people to change their mind and or understand what you're talking about is if you're civil about it and how you approach it. So I enjoy people saying, hey, I don't agree with you. I'd say, great, tell me why. I'd like to know why you disagree. You know, what is it you're seeing that I'm not seeing? That's where you really learn things, you know, is listening.
Well, that is so true. So maybe we should deal with one of those things right now. MUFON has...
He fell into it, folks. You see that?
Yeah. MUFON has, as its motto, the scientific study of UFOs for the benefit of humanity. So let's unpack that a bit. What exactly is a UFO to MUFON, and how can they be studied scientifically without having one in our possession to study and test?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think, you know, when you look at the definition of the word science, it has to do with the study of a certain thing. You know, in this case, it's UFOs. And when you study science, science begins with observation. And what's more observable than UFOs, things flying around our skies or on the ground even, you know, people reporting those. I've heard people say, well, that's just a story. Well, yeah, but every science observation started with a story. I mean, Isaac Newton was laying under an apple tree when an apple fell out and hit him on the head. You know, he started thinking, what caused that thing to fall? Why did it fall? You know, what's gravity about? But he first observed it, and then he started questioning it, and then he started developing hypotheses about how it did what it did. And that's what leads us to greater understanding of our universe around us. And so I think that's the scientific basis of MUFON. I mean, we've collected well over 100,000 case studies of UFOs in the last 50 years that are in our files. We're making those available to scientists and engineers. I'm trying to get aerospace companies interested in that. I mean, there's plenty of people doing research that have the funding to go take that knowledge and turn it into something useful for all of us here on this planet.
Let's do the break here. Jan Harzan of Mutual UFO Network, MUFON, the executive director. With Randall and Gene, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the purest for you and your family. For over 14 years, thousands have depended on Berkey Clean Water. The Berkey guy has you covered at home, work, and on the go with water filtration systems of every size for every budget. Now, GCN listeners receive 10% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN at GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. President Trump is threatening to close the southern border with Mexico if he doesn't get the funding for his border wall.
Washington Post reporter Michael Scherer has more on the president's negotiations with Democrats over border wall funding.
The latest offer we've heard is about $2.5 billion for the year for border security. It's not clear what restrictions would be put on that, whether it could go to new fencing or not. The president has also backed off his initial demand for a concrete wall. He's now saying steel slats will be enough.
While Washington remains deadlocked, 380,000 workers have been told to stay home without pay, and 420,000 others, including TSA screeners, members of the Coast Guard, and Border Patrol officers, must continue working without pay. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule. Thousands of doctors, health specialists, and professionals recommend Balance of Nature as a way of improving their health. Listen to a few unsolicited success stories from doctors that not only recommend it, but use Balance of Nature as well.
In my practice, I was getting to the point where I couldn't have the strength to see that many patients anymore. I was diagnosed with sarcoidosis. It really affected my breathing and the strength that I had. And I was introduced to the fruits and veggies. Just slowly, my strength started to come back. And it was because of the good nutrition. I can't say enough good for Balance of Nature and what it's done for me. I recommend it to everybody.
When you call, use discount code USA. And we'll take 35% off your first month's order and ship it to you free. Call 800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Raising our voices alone or together. Seeking the truth. And speaking our minds, not just making records, but breaking them. Fighting for victory on the battlefield and on the playing field. Seeing the world through new eyes and the earth from miles above. Redefining beauty, brains, and what it really means to be queen. Making ourselves heard on stage and on screen. Showing the way in Silicon Valley. And showing up for others wherever help is needed most. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I want to tell you right away, Jan Harzan, that when you hear Randall with his echo, he is not talking to us from the fifth dimension, and therefore we can't get him to say his name backwards and have him disappear. That's a very, very obscure comic book reference, folks.
Ah, okay. I was going to say, is he echoing because he's in a hall of... Why is he echoing?
It's my professional echo microphone.
Ah,
okay. For $1.99 at the local Dollarama.
I need one of those.
So anyway, you were saying, okay, I think you were onto something there. Where we were going with that then is what you're doing then. You're not really studying UFOs, but UFO reports, because we still don't have scientifically valid material evidence in the form of an alien craft to scientifically study, do we?
Well, we certainly don't. I imagine there probably is one or two sitting around somewhere in the world in some laboratory somewhere being torn apart, but no, MUFON does not have in his possession a crash saucer. I wish we did. But without one, you certainly have the observations and the observables from those craft that can lead you to understand perhaps the physics behind how it's doing what it's doing. And that's what scientists are and engineers are beginning to take apart, and physicists, and try to figure out how these things actually operate. Of course, the other side of the equation is not only how they operate, but who's operating them, right? And that's an important thing, too. So the second part of our mission statement, to unpack it a little further, is the benefit of humanity. And where the benefit comes from is if we can put some of these technologies we observe to work on this planet to help all of us. I mean, here's some observables. I mean, being able to travel instantaneously point to point. Just think what it would be like if you could travel from New York City to London in the blink of an eye, or from New York to Hong Kong in two blinks of an eye. I mean, you could literally live anywhere on the planet, work anywhere on the planet, have dinner, lunch, or breakfast anywhere on the planet, and be back home in bed without any wear and tear on your body of having sat on an airplane for 12 or 15 hours. So this is going to completely change the way transportation works on this planet, the way business happens on this planet, the way personal interactions happen on this planet. Now, just take it a step further to off planet. If you could transport yourself from here to Mars or here to the moon or here to another galaxy in less than a lifetime to get there, you can really extend the reach of mankind and the how the humans are living out in space. I mean, that's what Elon Musk has been trying to create with this whole SpaceX thing, creating a civilization on Mars, you know, an extended civilization from Earth. So there's huge things that are changing. I'll take another one. That is health. People have reported major health issues, life-ending health issues, and then have had some interaction with these craft, these beings, and have had complete remission of their symptoms. If we had that kind of technology, I think what that would do for the health and well-being of people on this planet who are suffering from any number of problems today, whether it be diabetes, congestive heart failure, lung cancer, if we had the ability to fix these things as these beings seem to be able to do, it could completely change life on this planet. It might also bankrupt the Social Security system, but it'll change life on this planet, right? So,
well, we'd like to think so. I mean, there's a couple of assumptions in there, and that one of them, of course, is that they actually can do this instantaneous type of transport that you're talking about. Like, there's no question that they seem to move very quickly, and that at times they've been observed to appear to be in one place and then appear in another place, but we can't really be sure in those cases that it's the same object that's appeared in the other place that was seen in the first instance. So,
So you want more proof, but let's assume that it is the same object. How did it do that? How was it able to leave this space and time and over up in this place, space and time, wherever that other place might be?
That's one of those assumptions. I think that's going maybe a little bit too far out on a limb to assume this is actually going on. But still, you've got the issue of how do they move the way that they do, silently, quickly, instant acceleration, that sort of thing. We're still using all of this internal combustion type technology, and I think you're absolutely right. Whatever it is they're using, it's not that.
Right. Correct. I think you're right. And if we could figure out how to use this same technology, I live in Southern California. Today we have high winds, and I was up high in a building earlier today, and I looked out and I could actually see 100 miles out to Catalina Island and beyond to San Clemente Island and other places perfectly clear. I could see the mountains, and you know, most of the time in Southern California, you can't see any of these things because they're shrouded in smog. But if you had a clear day using clean technology, such as what this is, boy, this would be a much better planet to live on, in my opinion.
And you're kind of almost at a UFO hot zone down on there. We had Preston Dennett on not too long ago talking about all the cases that go on right around there. Wasn't it just off of Catalina Island that they had the Nimitz encounters?
Yeah, it was a little further south, towards south of actually San Diego where the Nimitz happened, but that whole channel there through Southern California from the L.A. Harbor down through San Pedro and down in San Diego, I mean, that whole thing is a hotbed of activity for craft being seen off the shores. We've had a number of reports of people reporting stuff. In fact, I had a board member from the local chapter when I ran the MUFON Orange County group, who she and her husband were out to dinner one night with two friends. I believe one of them was an airline captain. And they were driving south on Pacific Coast Highway, which runs along the ocean in Laguna Beach, when they saw a craft come up out of the ocean and zip off into the sky. All four of them observed it. Interestingly enough, they didn't talk about it, and they didn't even discuss it as a group. They just went on with their lives like nothing happened. They went to dinner. They had dinner. It was a very nice evening. Several years later, she asked the other couple, do you remember that time we were in the car and we were driving along, going to this restaurant, and all of a sudden out of the ocean came this flying saucer, basically, and it came out, and then it shot up in the sky? And they said, no, we don't remember that at all. Isn't that interesting? Two of the people, she and her husband remembered it, but the two people they were with didn't remember it.
Maybe they didn't see it.
Maybe they didn't see it. Exactly.
Yeah. Because if they never discussed it, then hey, look at that. What was that? Did you see that? Then there's no way to know whether or not they really saw it.
Yeah, very, very possibly. You could be very right about that.
But that still is just one of many reports that are like that in that particular area. So it's pretty hard to deny that something strange is going on when there's the number of reports that people have had over the years. And MUFON seems pretty dedicated to the idea that we're dealing with craft, alien craft of some kind, and I happen to be one of the people who are in agreement with that. Where do you think the most reasonable place that they come from is?
Well, that's an interesting question because, you know, I feel a strong pull towards the extraterrestrial hypothesis. In other words, there are beings from out there coming here. But if you really think about it, there's nothing to say that they couldn't be an indigenous species to this planet living under our oceans or inside our Earth somewhere, maybe in another dimension even, or that they could be time travelers coming back in time to visit this planet and maybe correct some problems that happened earlier, or that they could be, you know, top secret military aircraft, or that they could be, I mean, who knows, angels, demons. I mean, there's so many theories about what they could be, interdimensional creatures.
All theories are as good as another, though. Some of them are sort of subjective interpretations based on myth. Like you were saying, the demons, transports from hell hypothesis. Well, right. You know, we're talking about mythology there.
Right. But nothing that says that that these are mutually exclusive. In other words, they could all be true simultaneously. That's the point I would make. But I think if I had to settle on something, I would say they tend to be advanced beings who have just learned so much more than we have, a being that they might be 100, 1,000, or 1,000,000 years more advanced than us. I mean, just think about how far we've come in the last 100 to 200 years. You know, I can remember when I was just a kid in the 50s, you had a crystal radio. That was really your radio, it was your crystal radio.
More to come. Jan Harzan, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
You may need this herbal tea for relief right away, so write this down. DrMillersClinic.com. If you take meds, then suffer stomach distress, constipation, indigestion, acid reflux, and bloating, and nothing else helps, get Dr. Miller's Holy Tea or Super Holy Tea, a cleansing, detoxifying herbal tea now available at great rates direct from Dr. Miller's office. Call or click 888-660-7039 or DrMillersClinic.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DV Design, right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Interesting that Jan talks about crystal radios and how far we've come. And I think of the time back in the 50s and the 60s, I built radios, including the crystal radios. I think people still make those kits, by the way. And they are as lousy now as they were then. If the stations are really strong, you could get them. Otherwise, not so much. But the thing I wanted to point out to you there is look at the steady state of our development. Would a civilization's technology, if they're 1,000, 5,000, or 10,000 years ahead of us, even be recognizable? Or as Arthur C. Clarke says, magic. I mean, we look at the products that may come from those civilizations, like flying saucers. They don't seem to be advanced enough. If a civilization has been around that long, why would they need physical spacecraft?
Yeah, you're talking about inside the spacecraft. I mean, they're talking about these smooth walls that don't seem to have any seams to them. The light, there's no actual light fixtures, just light just seems to emanate from the walls.
That's too simplistic. That's too simple, Jan. I'm thinking that the object itself, the means of transportation, may not even be comprehensible. We look at it now and say, okay, sure, maybe they have warp drive. They have anti-gravity. We could look into our own science, what we're working on, and what our sci-fi writers predict, and come up with scenarios that make a lot of sense for maybe a couple hundred years from now. Originally, when we started looking at warp drive, they said that the power required would be planetary on its level. Now they've reduced that considerably, so maybe in 2050, Zefram Cochrane will develop warp drive, as Star Trek talks about. But seriously speaking here, what I'm saying is what we see in this technology doesn't tell me 1,000 or 5,000 years. It tells me hundreds of years. At one point, will a civilization be able to do things that we can barely even conceive of, and maybe just have instantaneous transportation, maybe stargates or something? So the flying saucers, does it represent civilizations that aren't so far ahead of us, or it's put up there for our benefit?
Or maybe they're projecting what it is we're capable of understanding.
I think you're both onto something for sure there. Like, exactly. Because we've commented in the past on the show and in the forums about the theatricality of the phenomena, it not only seems to just present itself to us as a phenomena, but with a certain kind of an intent. There's an intention there. Obviously, if they wanted to, they could probably go unseen by our detection equipment and by visual observation. And yet, from time to time, they choose to be picked up on radar and chased by jets, where pilots actually see them and always remain just out of range, almost playing a cat and mouse game, where strange things seem to happen, like almost as if they can anticipate the moves of the pilots by reading their minds, that sort of thing.
Well, I think you bring up a good point. You know, I mean, these craft appear out of nowhere, and they go into nowhere. And so where is it they're coming from, and where is it they're going to?
Well, I've proposed active camouflage, for one thing. So we've got to, you know, if you activate that and you become invisible, you know, that might be interpreted by someone, say, like valet in past years, as going into another dimension, where in reality, it's nothing of the sort. They're just using a type of technology that obscures them from visual observation.
And there is a whole strain of people, valet being one of them, who are postulating that these are not extraterrestrial. These are from some other dimensionality or some other mind, you know, thing that we've created through our consciousness of some sort. And it's certainly a path to follow. But I'm kind of a basic kind of guy, and I go to the simplest explanation. And I think it's just people who are so far advanced from us that they just appear to be, as you said, perhaps looking like they've come from another dimension or another place in time.
Right, because they wouldn't actually need to be that advanced in order to give the illusion that they're coming from another dimension. And that's where, Gene, I think you're right on the money there, where they seem to be presenting themselves to us in a certain way. And even Clark, he points this out too, where it seems to follow or at least parallel just a little further ahead from our own technology, from the airships back in the late 1800s right through to the present day. You know, they had the Zeppelin-like airships, and now we're getting the triangles.
Did we lose Gene?
I'm just listening for your response.
Oh, I thought he was asking you the question.
Yeah, I was kind of directing it Gene's way, but I mean, yeah, you sure, whatever you think too, Jan. I mean, this is, we're getting like right into the heart of the issue here as to what we're dealing with. In terms of the phenomenon, of course, that's not everything that MUFON does, and we can certainly talk about that as well, if you'd like to switch to, say, some of the conferences or some of the work that you do just to raise public awareness, the TV productions and so on. Where would you like to go with it?
Well, yeah, I think the research is a place where I like to be, because I think these are the questions we need to be asking, and we need to be finding the funding or the organizations who have the funding to look into these things and try to determine it. You know, MUFON's a nonprofit. We operate based on the goodness of the public. Otherwise we wouldn't exist. We don't have the funds to go build a interstellar craft. I mean, we don't have the capability to do that. You look at the latest organization created by Tom DeLonge, TTSA, and it appears to me that one of their primary tenets is they'd like to take this, quote, science of interstellar travel and try to create some kind of a interstellar craft out of it. I sure hope they're successful. I'd love to see something like that. I suspect that someone's built that in the black world, maybe. But if they haven't, it's great. What I'm being told by physicists and scientists is that we're not that far off from being able to figure it out ourselves and build it ourselves. So it's just going to take a lot of money to do it and a lot of funding. So that, and then you've got the whole area of consciousness, like how are things perceived? How does reality get created? How do you transfer between these locations and that location? There's just a whole host of incredible breakthrough from a science standpoint that are going to happen here in the very close future. I say close being 20 to 30 years, which to me is like nothing, that I don't think people realize. It's going to make the last 100 years of technology development, where we went from, you know, barely being able to fly to landing on the moon, it's going to make it look like, you know, a puppy. You know, we're going to be doing stuff that's just so phenomenal, it'll just knock your socks off.
Like what? Let's talk a bit about that. Have you got sort of an interest in that futurist type type stuff where you're dealing with? So what do you think we're really in for in the, say, in the next 20 years?
Well, I think in the next 20, we're gonna actually probably build prototypes of interstellar craft. And now we might not be out there in a big way, but we'll be out there at least testing this technology to travel to other galaxies, to other star systems, to other solar systems. I think when you start doing that, you know, you're going to stumble upon or awfully come upon other intelligent life in the universe. And you're going to start, you know, just think of this. You know, let's just forward 50 years. And we're now out there as an interstellar civilization traveling to these other galaxies. And we're now circling above a planet in a solar system far, far away. And we look down on this planet. We see these indigenous people running around and doing stuff down there who don't have the capability to build a rocket yet. They don't have the capability to do things because they're still very early in their infancy. And we go down and we interact with these people, whether we take one aboard our craft and work on it or whatever we do. But now we become the aliens. And I think that's a profound statement. You know, we now become the aliens. So we're those people today, and we're looking up and we're seeing this activity in our skies, all these different ships coming here, for lack of a better word. And we're saying, oh, look, there's aliens here, or ETs or whatever you want to call them. It's not going to be too far in the future when we're the aliens.
Or so we would hope. I mean, the nearest star is just over 4 light years distant. So, I mean, that we could make that journey at even half light speed within a human lifespan.
But, correct.
And then there's more stars, say, within 50 light years, which could still get us maybe, you know, a one-way trip at our present lifespan. But then things start to get farther away, and it literally takes hundreds and hundreds of years, it's thousands of years, more than that. Light speed, so, and let alone distant galaxies, which are billions of, I mean, it would take you billions of years to get there, even at light speed, so.
Billions, he said.
Well,
We have to break here, guys. Jan, Jean, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.